The tapping noise woke me up at 3 in the morning. Still being half asleep, I rolled over and dismissed it as the house settling or the sound of a branch against the window. After another minute of the soft sound invading my ears and keeping me from drifting back off, I was awake enough to realize that there was no low-hanging branches close enough to the cottage to be making noise, and the sound was too consistent and steady to be anything regarding the building's structure. I sat up in bed, staring into the pitch darkness of the room around me and trying to focus on the intrusive clattering, which was starting to sound more and more like fingers drumming against the doorframe out front. But that didn't make any sense. My rental cottage was in the middle of the woods and was a quarter mile from the nearest road. I was completely isolated. There was no reason anyone would be out here, especially at this time of night. I was inwardly scolding myself for obviously misidentifying the sound when it paused for a moment, and in that silence I heard the steady thudding of my heartbeat as I was trying to match the rhythm. Suddenly there was a soft yet sharp wooden creak from the front door. And in my head, I imagined someone gently leaning their weight against it, as if to put their ear to the door and listen in for any sound from within. And then the tapping restarted, except this time, not quite as softly, as if knowing that I was awake. The sound wasn't a threat. It was beckoning, a dare. "Come and investigate," the sound seemed to whisper. Was this a dream? No. As soon as my feet made contact with the icy cold floor, I realized with dismay, this wasn't in my head. The chilling, unexplainable sound was very real. I crept over to the loft's window, which looked down awkwardly at the front door. By the faint light of the half moon escaping down through the canopy of branches, I saw a dark figure, or at least the outline of what appeared to be a person, directly beneath me. I stared down at it for several seconds in shock and alarm, and the beginnings of anger. What was this? A prank? Who had walked through the near pitch darkness of the forest at this time of night just to stand there and silently tap on my door? Another more pressing question came to me. What was I supposed to do? It would do no good to call the police. It's not as though they could drive up with lights on and sirens blaring. I was in the middle of nowhere. In the time it would take anyone to get here, this stranger could easily break down that door and get to me. He, if it was a he, had to know that I was there, because the only thing more stupid than tapping on an isolated cabin door in the middle of the night was doing it without the certainty that there was even anyone inside to panic. The tapping stopped again, and suddenly the figure seemed to shift and turn its body half to one side. Was it looking up at me? I couldn't see any kind of face or eyes. I stared down at the outline without making a sound, barely breathing, as if nervous it would sense me. The figure was standing far too still for comfort. It wasn't adjusting its weight or fidgeting in any way. I couldn't even make out its arms or legs. It just resembled a blank smudge or shadow with the proportions of an adult man. Another troubling thought came to me. What if this was all a ruse, or a distraction to keep my focus on the front door while someone else tried to break into the cabin somewhere else? After a moment, I dismissed the thought. There was only the one entrance into the cabin, aside from 5 or 6 very small windows. And if the figure had wanted to break in, it likely could have already without waking me up. Suddenly my fury outweighed my fear and I left the loft, descending the ladder to stand on the other side of the door. There wasn't a peephole or a window of any kind to look through, but I could feel the presence there, just out of reach of the way people walking home on a dark street can sense when they're being followed. The tapping sound came again more rapidly now, as if the figure was strumming 4 fingers against the door inches from my face. It continued to tap more rapidly, increasing in speed and force until I felt like bringing my hands to my ears. If I had a weapon of any kind, I may have thrown open the door and confronted the prowler, but since I didn't, instead, I just cried out, "Stop it! Leave me alone!" Before I was even done forming the words, the sound stopped. An icy chill ran down my spine. There was a moment of silence and then a single long scratch from the outside against the door. And then there was nothing. No sound of retreating footsteps through the leaves. No sound of a reaction to my shout, like chuckling or muttering or heavy breathing. The doorknob didn't even rattle. I took several deep breaths and tried to calm myself. Whatever it was, it seemed to be gone. Then a realization hit me with the force of a semi-truck, and I nearly smacked myself in the head with both hands. The door had been unlocked the whole time. I had remembered after dinner shutting the door, but not the deadbolt, because I figured, why bother? There was nobody around for miles. I locked the deadbolt immediately, and the sound reverberated around the house like a thunderclap. I shot back up the ladder up into the loft and looked down through the window at the door. There was no dark figure standing there any longer. Peeking through the other windows, I scanned the perimeter but couldn't spot the mysterious dark shape watching me from anywhere within the nearby trees. Shaken and upset, I tried to return to bed, but sleep didn't relieve me of my troubled mind until the sun began to peek in between my curtains and announce the start of a new day. I had rented the rustic little three-room house with the loft bedroom at a very moderate price, because there was a small amount of hiking required to get there. I had planned to escape society for a few days, simply wanting to visit a quiet, isolated spot where I could read my favorite books and listen to my music while I painted, in absolute peace. I had met the landlord upon arrival, who owned the property, but lived several miles away, and rarely visited the cabin himself except for routine maintenance. He was an older man, somewhere I would guess to be in his late 60s with thick glasses and an untidy gray beard. He had a limp that he explained was a result of a motorcycle crash in his youth that has caused permanent damage to his knee, and hence why he didn't come up to the cabin often. He was actually trying to sell it and the surrounding land, but realistically it was too impractical for anyone to live in full time, and the upkeep alone would cost a tidy sum. Once he was finished explaining how to operate the gas lamps and showing me where the emergency flashlights were kept, he was on his way out the door when he had stopped and turned around to face me.
You read the disclaimer in the rental agreement, correct?
I nodded as recalled. Yes, I remember it. In case of any odd sounds in the night, don't venture outdoors, but remain inside. I figured that was his way of assuring his safety against a potential lawsuit in case some drunken idiot ran off chasing a bear in the middle of the night, and the bear ended up mauling him, so I hadn't thought about the disclaimer or what he had said next very hard.
Anything you hear coming from outside at night is harmless. Just ignore it, and it will eventually leave.
At the time, I had politely nodded and gone back to stocking the pantry, but as I stared at the long scratch on the outside of my door the following morning, I found myself wondering if he had meant more than just a potential wandering bear. The scratch was long and deep, and appeared to have been made by some kind of sharp tool. There was no way a human fingernail could make a mark like that. As I took a picture of it on my phone, another chilling thought came to me. What if it had been some kind of claw? I walked through the woods a bit in the direction I had left my car until my cell phone had a signal. I sent the picture via text message to the landlord, and then called him. He answered on the first ring.
What did you say to it?
He asked immediately, without even saying hello. What? I was caught off guard. I didn't say anything to anyone.
The noise at the door last night, you didn't ignore it.
It wasn't a question. I was so surprised that he seemed already familiar with what I was about to explain to him that for a moment I couldn't even form a coherent sentence. I went to the door and shouted for whoever was there to leave. I heard his sudden intake of breath.
Did you open the door?
No. My voice was starting to sound very defensive.
It's going to come back tonight. Listen to me. You can't acknowledge it again. It will be louder tonight, more aggressive, but it can't get in. So just put in earplugs or something and ignore it.
1,000 questions raced through my head, and I finally decided on, what is it?
Look, would you rather leave? I can refund you for your remaining few nights.
I'm not sure if my brain was trying to make logical sense of everything or my defensive nature was taking over, but I suddenly felt like he was trying to pull some kind of scam on me, to scare me out of the cabin and then make an excuse about how a verbal agreement wasn't sufficient for a refund based on an early departure. What? No, I'm not leaving. What is this thing you're talking about? There was a long pause, and finally, he replied.
I'm not sure. Listen to me. It can't get in. As long as you don't acknowledge it, nothing will happen.
I suddenly felt very exposed and alone out there in the woods. even in broad daylight. I started glancing around myself in every direction, as if some shadowy, faceless form might be creeping up on me. Is this some kind of prank? Is there some hermit living out here that I should know about? There was another pause. This time it was longer.
The thing that was at the door last night isn't something that can be explained. The best I can tell you is that it doesn't get intimidated, and you can't hurt it. It's patient, and will try to coax you into opening the door. But as long as you just ignore it, remain calm, listen to music, hell, take a sleeping pill and sleep right through it, it will eventually give up.
It ran off pretty quick when I told it to. How about I just sit outside tonight and chase it off when it comes back? The man was quiet for a full 10 seconds.
Please don't try that.
The genuine worry in his voice made my stomach drop. He started talking again, this time very rapidly.
It's out of my hands. If you want to leave, I'll refund you your money. But if you stay, just remember what I told you. I can't be involved.
What the... He hung up. Upon returning to the cabin, I examined the scratch again. It definitely had not been there when I checked in, which meant that this thing was physical, tangible, and able to be stopped, but I couldn't shake the very real sound of fear I heard in that man's voice. Instead of spending my day relaxing and enjoying myself, I spent the daylight hours preparing for another night of confrontation with this thing. I hiked back to my car and returned to the cabin with a tire iron, a rectangular wooden stool, and a very large hunting knife. Once I had returned to the cabin, I shut the door, locked it, shoved the armchair in front of it, and then used every blanket and towel available to cover the windows. I sat on the couch and over the course of a couple hours, used the knife to carve the full alphabet into the seat of the wooden stool. Then I used a black pen to shade in the letters and make them slightly more visible. By the time night fell, I had finished. I grabbed a shot glass from the cabinet, placed it on the stool, and then proceeded to place the stool directly in front of me as I sat in the middle of the floor facing the door, the tire iron just out of reach. After several hours of silence, I curled up on the couch with one of the gas lamps burning low and dozed. When the tapping sound began again, I wasn't surprised to discover. It was 3 a.m. The tapping started by one of the windows this time and traveled slowly around the side of the house until it found the door, where it steadily continued, patient, unbroken, tantalizing, for a full minute. I sat down in front of my makeshift Ouija board stool and, using the shot glass as a planchette, began to address the unknown thing outside. If nothing happened, then it was clearly some prowler playing a prank, and I would open the door and bludgeon the hoodlum a few times with a tire iron. But if something did happen... Is there a presence here with me? I spoke aloud to the Ouija board, looking down at it and ignoring the door. The tapping on the door immediately stopped. I continued speaking aloud. If there is a presence here, then come forth and make yourself known. The shot glass in my fingertips suddenly scooted across the stool and landed upon the O carved marking. It continued across the board, spelling out the command, "Open the door." I suddenly found it difficult to breathe. My eyes darted back and forth between the shot glass and the door, where from outside no more sounds were to be heard. My palms started to sweat as I creaked out another spoken question. "Can you prove to me that you are the entity at the door?" The shot glass moved again. Yes. The tapping sound came again from the other side of the door, this time very loud, aggressive, and demanding. The doorknob rattled. The shot glass danced across the stool's surface. "Open the door." "What is it you want?" "To be inside." "You can't come inside. I won't let you in." "I will find a way." My heart was in my throat, and part of me just wanted to dart up that ladder and into the loft and hide under the blankets of the bed. I forced myself to focus. I was the one in control. I had to find a way to pacify whatever it was out there. "Please stop rattling the door." To my surprise, the noise ceased. I swallowed and took a deep breath. "Who are you?" Its response took me off guard. "Angry." "Why are you angry?" "I am not inside." "Why do you want to be inside of this cabin?" There was a long pause where the shot glass didn't move and no sound of any kind came from outside. Finally, the shot glass slid across the stool surface so fast I could barely keep my fingers on it. It spelled out one word. Revenge. My mouth went dry. What does that mean? Open the door. The pounding and scratching sounds began again from outside the door. This time it was the loudest they had ever been. I tried something new. What is your name? No name. Why don't you have a name? Open the door. Suddenly, an intense pounding began circling the cabin as if the creature was searching every inch of the outside looking for a weak spot. My spoken question came out like a squeak. What are you doing? We'll find a way in. You can't get in. I shook my head firmly, though I was reassuring myself more than challenging it. I can. The whole cabin suddenly felt like it was being shaken from its foundation, like the creature had crawled beneath the floor and was trying to find a way in from underneath. Stop it! I command you to leave! The vibrations from beneath the floor immediately stopped and everything went quiet again. Sweat was running down my face and my heart was pounding hard enough to crack my ribs. The shot glass suddenly moved again, without a question prompting it. You are afraid. No, I'm not. I answered a little too quickly, my defensive nature immediately springing forth. Your hands shake. Suddenly my panic overwhelmed my confusion, curiosity, skepticism, and rage. You fear me. Can you see me? I sounded more afraid than demanding. Yes. I suddenly noticed to my horror that one of the towels had slipped partially off a window, and half of the window pane was exposing the inside of the cabin to whatever was lurking outside. As faint as starlight as dawn, I could make out a single pale point of light reflecting in the darkness against the glow of the glass lamp. It was an eye. I wanted to leap forward and cover the window, but I was paralyzed with fright, not wanting to get any closer to the strange creature. My fingers still rested upon the shot glass as if they had been frozen upon it. I will return. I was no longer in control. It was telling me what it intended now, instead of responding to my questions and commands. The shot glass moved again. I will get in. With one final long scratch at the front door, all noise from outside stopped. The silence felt even more terrifying. I blew out the gas lamp, kicked over the Ouija board stool, and darted up the ladder into the loft. I lifted up the mattress and leaned it against the wall and cowered behind it, wrapped in sheets, gripping the hunting knife like a drowning man clings to driftwood. I didn't sleep a wink after that, and for the next several hours I prayed for daylight to arrive, and every small sound felt like the roar of some demonic creature hunting for me, getting closer every minute. When the dawn finally broke, I leapt down from the loft, grabbed my keys and phone, and hurled the furniture blocking the door out of the way. Without even bothering to collect my belongings or put on my shoes, I sprinted as hard as I could through the woods and down towards my car. When I finally reached the end of the path and stumbled, gasping for breath, into the small parking area, I nearly screamed. My car had been completely destroyed. All four tires were punctured, the windshield was caved in, and even the driver's side door had been torn off. Long scratches ran along both sides of the car, some so deep that they had cut clean through the metal. The trunk was gaping open like a yawning mouth, and when I peered inside, I almost vomited. There were several gutted and decapitated animals littered around the spare tire. Rabbits, raccoons, squirrels, even what looked to be a baby fox. I climbed inside the car to discover the upholstery had been torn to shreds and the steering wheel had been broken in two. I even checked under the hood just to be thorough and discovered that the battery was missing and that the engine block was cracked. What could possibly have done all this? Could this thing I had encountered last night really have destroyed my car so methodically? If it had done so with such ease, why hadn't it simply torn off the cabin door and entered last night? Nothing was making sense. I pulled out my phone to call for help, but my heart sank when I discovered my battery was dead. There was no way to charge it in my car anymore, and the cabin didn't have electricity. I sank to my knees in utter hopelessness, and for the first time, noticed the words carved into the door on the passenger side. I will get in. I ran back to the cabin even faster than I had left it. Upon arriving, I noticed a second scratch, even longer and deeper than the first one, on the outside of the door. I darted inside and slammed the door behind me. I had two options: barricade myself in the cabin or try to make my way down the mountain on foot. I had the whole day ahead of me after all. Maybe I can make it to the interstate before nightfall. But what if I couldn't? What if I got lost or got hurt or something else delayed me? I would be alone and vulnerable, wandering the woods in the pitch darkness. Would the thing hunt for me? But wait, did it want me, or did it simply want to get inside the cabin? If it wanted me, it could have gotten me already after all. But I remembered the shot glass spelling out the word revenge last night, and I had the terrible thought of some kind of ferocious carnivore hunting me through the pitch black woods to make me suffer. I made up my mind. I would stay the night and trust whatever was keeping this thing from entering the cabin would continue to do so. The landlord would be here tomorrow, and I could get a ride down the mountain with him. All I had to do was stay calm, not acknowledge it, and it couldn't get to me. I brought the Ouija board stool outside and smashed it against a nearby tree until it broke into several pieces. I even hurled the shot glass against a rock in case the object was now tainted by some kind of evil aura. Back inside, I found a hammer and nailed every window shut before barricading the door with every piece of furniture that I could move. After I was positive I had secured the cabin as best I could, I climbed up to the loft and tried to calm myself down enough to sleep. I planted the hunting knife blade down onto the wooden floor so I could grab it quickly if I needed to, and settled down to sleep. Just before I drifted off, the sun streaming through the towel covering the window, I thought I heard a faint crack of the pantry door swinging open. When I finally opened my eyes again, I found myself in near pitch darkness. I sprang off the mattress and peeked out of the window. The sun was nearly gone. I had slept through the entire day. Feeling a little foolish and not looking forward to spending the next several hours fully awake and alone in the dark, I lit the gas lamp in the loft and prepared to make my way down the ladder, but I never made it to the bottom. It was impossible. I felt like I had just been struck by a wall of freezing water, and I found myself unable to move. Sitting in the center of the floor beneath me was the completely intact Ouija board stool, complete with the shot glass resting upon it. The pantry door was also wide open. For perhaps a full 15 seconds, I couldn't form a coherent thought in my head. What did I do now? Was I safe here? The sun wouldn't be gone for a few minutes. Should I risk trying to make a run for it? Then came a sudden scratching from outside the cabin door. A loud, blood-chilling, ratchet scratching, which started at the door and traveled completely around the outside of the cabin until it completed its circle at the door again. I crouched up in the loft with my hand over my ears and tried to force myself not to respond in any way, to just ignore the ferocity of whatever this thing was. Suddenly, there was a tremendous bang from above me and the long strides of something crossing the roof. I leapt down from the loft so fast that I stumbled and fell onto my face, overturning the Ouija board and sending the shot glass rolling across the floor. From the loft above, the flame in the gas lamp suddenly sputtered and weakened for no apparent reason, and I was thrown into the air near complete shadow, save for the silver of daylight leaking in through the curtain shields. I lay as still as a stone until the sounds from the roof ceased, and for a few moments there was an absence of all sound. The darkness and silence together felt like a chemical mixture which was reacting and scalding me in like some kind of corrosive acid, and if I didn't escape, I was going to wither away and die in unimaginable pain. I stared at the door with my back to the open pantry, and suddenly had the feeling of being watched on all sides like a fish in a bowl or a mouse in a trap. I could feel more than hear the shifting in the dark directly behind me. Without knowing what else to do, I righted the Ouija board stool and placed the shot glass back on its surface carefully, as if it was the final piece on a chessboard. I placed my fingers on the shot glass and quietly whispered, "Is there something in here with me?" The glass immediately, yet slowly, traced the words, "Don't turn around." I suddenly felt like a train was bearing down on me from behind. My heart sank about 6 feet beneath the floorboards. From the door in front of me came the familiar slow, teasing, tapping noise. Am I speaking with the same presence I spoke to last night? No. The glass moved slowly again, carefully, as if coaxing me to relax. Suddenly the shot glass nearly flew from my hands as it aggressively spelled out, "I am here as well." What in the hell was going on? I asked, my voice trembling, "Is there more than one presence here with me?" "Yes." The glass carefully spelled out the word, then viciously, so hard across the surface it scratched the glass. "Two of us." There were two of them, one behind the door and one in the pantry. One was aggressive, the other was calm, and I was caught directly in between them. To the new spirit, what do you want from me? Do not open the door. I felt tears forming in my eyes. To the spirit from last night, what do you want from me? Let me in. I tried to force myself to think clearly, but the panic consumed me like a wildfire, burning any piece of my mind and rational thought to ash. To the new spirit, is the returning spirit after you? Yes. Why should I protect you then? I can protect you. The shot glass gave a violent tug across the stool that hurt my wrist as the invader spirit took over. No protection from me. I felt the cool, unseen force of the calmer presence guide my hands again to spell out, "It lies." The shot glass suddenly shot out from underneath my sweaty fingertips and started dancing across the surface on its own with the frenzied speed of a startled Mustang. The two spirits were engaged in some kind of battle of wills, both of them trying to get me to comply, but the glass was moving too fast for me to make out separate words. I only caught fragments of letter clusters. You betrayed me. Can no longer hide. The fire awaits. The shot glass suddenly broke into two pieces under the strain, but the larger piece kept streaking across the stool surface, the broken glass gouging long scratches into the wood. I couldn't take it anymore. I shot up the ladder to the loft to grab my knife, but as I crawled across the floor in my frenzy, my foot kicked out and sent the gas lamp falling over the edge of the loft to crash upon the floor below. I glanced down and saw that the carpet had been soaked through with kerosene and a small pinprick-sized flame had erupted into a small inferno, claiming not only the carpet, but the couch and the curtains as its own. The Ouija board stool began to catch fire as well, and the broken shot glass continued to dart wildly across the wood even as the letters were burned away into invisibility. I was coughing hard from the smoke that was collecting up by the roof. The fire extinguisher was out of my reach down by the bathroom door. The entire ground floor was ablaze. There was no escape for me at all unless... Could I break through the loft window? I would land right outside the front door, right on top of the creature beneath. I leaned out one more time over the loft railing and peered down into the burning cabin looking for an alternative. Standing in the middle of the room amongst the flames through the rising smoke, I could make out a tall, shadowy figure. I only caught a glimpse of it before the heat made me draw back, but in that glimpse, I saw long flowing hair, a bone-pale face, and large, terrified eyes. There was a tremendous crash from the front door, and I heard an ear-piercing scream so loud from below that it rattled every bone in my body, chilling my blood despite the intense heat. I wrapped my fist in one of my shirts, smashed through the glass window with one desperate blow, and used the knife to knock out the remaining jagged pieces. I leapt out into the night and landed hard on the ground in front of the door, cutting myself in several places and twisting my ankle, the knife biting deep into my palm and producing an agonizing scream of my own. I rolled over and looked up. Towering above me was a large, black mass. Its face was a black pit from which two diamond-shaped pale eyes peeked through strands of disheveled, slimy tufts of hair. The claws were as long as daggers and curved like crescent moons, and the figure crouched forward awkwardly, as if its back had broken and healed incorrectly. Instead of feet, I saw black, cloven hooves. Ignoring my injury, I leapt to my feet and sprinted as hard as I could through the dark and into the trees without looking back. I don't think the creature followed me because from behind, I continued to hear the steady pounding and clawing upon the door until it gave way, and the screams of some poor soul who, unlike me, was unable to escape the cabin. When the morning came, I rose up from the back seat of my mutilated car and stared off into the sky, where I could still make out the smoke rising from the remains of the cabin. I carefully limped out of the car, my hand bandaged with my shirt, my numerous cuts stinging fiercely thanks to my sticky, sweaty skin. I made my way halfway down the dirt road before the landlord came driving up his truck. He slammed on the brakes and climbed out, hurrying over to me.
Good God, what happened?
It got in. The man immediately froze in his tracks. His eyes were wide and terrified.
You spoke to it?
Yes, I replied wearily, leaning against a tree for support, waiting for him to come help me over to his truck.
You saw it?
I nodded. The man's face was distraught and alarmed. He looked past me over my shoulder back up the hill, and then all the expression left him. As calm and indifferent as a stone angel, he turned around and climbed back into his truck, right before he slammed the door and looked me in the eye.
I'm sorry.
As he spun the truck around and drove back down the hill, I called after him. Hey, where are you going? That's when I heard it. The faint tapping sound like claws on the trees behind me. The voice inside my head screamed, "Don't turn around! Don't acknowledge it!" But it was already too late. I instinctively spun around to see the black shape striding towards me down the path, its pale eyes locked onto me, its claws dragging roughly against the trees as it approached. I fell to my knees and screamed.
There's always a reason to be afraid.